This podcast is not intended to be a scholarly or authoritative source. Never Have Y'all Ever is an entertainment podcast that explores Texas culture, history, and subcultures through personal experiences and opinions. We encourage listeners to conduct their own research, consult reliable sources for historical or cultural information. Giddy up. Let's get into it.
Yeah, they say everything bigger in Texas.
That's true, but what about the stories, the one we all knew?
Giddy up. Okay, giddy up. Episode number 4.
There you go.
Quattro.
I was about to say the same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. All right. Got to get a little Spanglish here.
Probably. Yeah, we do.
Never have y'all ever. Yeah. Today, we're going to talk about Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Yes.
So this might be a turn from, listeners might think, from some of our first episodes, but I think I would be remiss if we didn't talk about this couple and kind of what they've done and our experience with that. And and Waco, a lot of our listeners might not even know where Waco is.
Right.
So
right.
We're going to talk a little bit about that. And I'm going to let, I am Melissa McGavick here with
Lindsay Lockhart Flynn, your co-host.
My co-host, Lindsay Lockhart Flynn. And so we're going to kick it off. We're going to keep going down this path where we're kind of throwing in the facts
right.
as we talk. I think that's giving us a nice kind of natural, but kind of keeping us on task, which is nice for our listeners. So we're not rambling on and on. I called this episode the Magnolia Effect.
Yes.
And I will say off the top, before we get started, the reason I did that is I have been to the Silos once.
Okay.
And one of the things that I noticed when I was there was that probably, I would say 80% of the people there are not from Texas that are visiting. They are coming, I mean, in the droves from all over the country and some internationally.
But I think stepping back, you're going to have to explain to some, like, what are the silos?
Oh, yeah, we're getting there. We're diving in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But let's just say it's now become this sort of tourist thing that is just bigger than Texas, and everything's big in Texas. This is bigger. This is huge. So number one, the Fixer Upper fame. Okay. Chip and Joanna Gaines rose to fame with their HGTV show, Fixer Upper. Premiering in 2013, the show quickly became a hit, captivating audiences with their home renovations in Waco, Texas. Their unique blend of Chip's construction know-how and Joanna's design aesthetics, along with their charming on-screen chemistry, made the show a cornerstone for home improvement television. Well, first of all, what HGTV?
Right.
Like, so we are old enough to have watched that for sure.
Yes.
Why, it's a channel. I don't even have cable anymore. But when you did, HGTV for sure was on in my house. And Fixer Upper definitely was one of the shows that I watched.
Okay.
So I'll lead with that.
Okay.
What you got? Do you remember HGTV?
No, I really do.
Were you a watcher of HGTV?
I was not.
Okay.
There is something about that show that stresses me completely out.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Stresses you out.
It stresses me out to see, you know, somebody go in on a home that is dilapidated and they only have a set budget.
Right.
They're trying
Which
to
is all untrue for sure.
Well, see, and I don't know that.
And for listeners, if you hear ice or kegs, we are in a cigar bar. Thank you, Wild Cigars in Burleson, Texas.
Yes.
So you might hear drinks clinging or ice being moved around.
It's just all part of the character. But no, I didn't really watch it, but my mother-in-law does.
Sure.
So
Well, I think that, you know, digging deeper, the 90s kid in me that saved the Pottery Barn catalogs like Vogue's.
Oh.
I just loved it. I ate it up. I loved shows like Fixer Upper. I thought they were just really entertaining and inspiring, and I definitely watched them.
Yeah.
I didn't care as much about like their on-screen chemistry.
Sure.
But I definitely saw what Joanna was doing and appreciated it. Yeah. And I think moving forward, when I did construct and design my own home at one point, and it was at the height of kind of the farmhouse style.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which just, it not only was an interior design moment, but it was tons of builders across the nation were now building. They had a whole side of just, you know, farmhouse style, modern farmhouse. And that Joanna, I would say, spearheaded that.
She was a pioneer. They both were.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. And let's take this, like, you know, like farm equipment and make it cool.
Yeah.
And like put it on your mantle.
See, this is why.
And make it sexy.
This is why I think it didn't strike me.
Because you're like, yeah.
I'm from West Texas.
Right.
And so it was like, so, you know, growing up where like things, you know, decoratively were horseshoes and barbed wire, you know, you say the word like barn chic to me and I'm like, let's just
not hot. Yeah, you know, like I've actually partied in a bar.
It's like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like it's also like the equivalent, like a Floridian is probably really tired of seeing starfish and dolphins.
Well, maybe.
And sea dollars.
Sure.
So I think by the time that this was taking off was when I was also moving away from, you know, kind of that West Texas.
Right. You
know,
wanted modern. You wanted.
I did. And that's why. And I was also in Dallas.
Sure.
So I was really enjoying the city lights and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I do realize that they both really were the first on the scene. And I think that they also resonated a lot with people, in our generation, because it's a very clutter-free type of interior that's still homey.
I think it's also utilitarian, mm-hmm. you know, and I think there's a piece of that that it's even the younger generation is really holding on to now, the ones that are like, let's grow our own tomatoes, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's those people that are like really loving, like, let's make the pitchfork like a centerpiece in the living room. Uh-huh. Like,
whatever. Yeah, I just, it's like.
Or like the chicken, the hen houses.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
At Treble Creative, that's Trevo. We're a full-service marketing agency that makes your business look good and get noticed. We believe every brand has a unique story to tell. We make sure you look good, sound good, and have the perfect script. Visit TrevoCreative.com to learn more about how we can turn bold ideas into unforgettable brands. What is your story?
All right, well, let's jump into number two, because this one's interesting. Magnolia Market at the Silos. So you mentioned, so the Silos, what is a silo?
So basically a silo is part of, in my understanding, like part of a grain factory operation.
Right, so it's a storage unit.
So it is a storage unit, and a lot of them here in Texas are abandoned. Mm-hmm. And so what you do come across on highways, you know, and in the middle of, you know, these, you know, smaller towns are, you know, these dilapidated, abandoned silos.
Right.
And
they're across the country. Anywhere that's,
you know what? No, true. I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. And so there, you know, there's something that's been there that's an eyesore for generations, actually, because that's how long they've been closed down. So,
So Joanna took these silos in Waco, America. Okay, right. Let me finish the fact. The Gaines has transformed a set of dilapidated grain silos in Waco into Magnolia Market at the Silos, a hugely popular destination for fans. This market features a home goods store, a bakery, and a garden shop, and it attracts thousands of visitors, turning Waco, Texas into a tourist hotspot. So here is like the real wild part for me. As a 90s kid, if you mention Waco, I think of David Koresh. I think of dozens of people that over a month, I think it was, the standoff with the FBI. David Koresh was the leader of a cult.
And I'm clearly not laughing at that, but it just resonates across all of us.
But that's what I remember.
You think Waco?
You think David Koresh? And Baylor, a little bit. University.
Yeah.
I mean, but I just don't know anything. I mean, right. So it's kind of a college town. But as a kid, we certainly watched.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I remember the standoff went on, and we'll have to fact check this later with Hassan, but it went on for weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
dozens of people died. Like, over 70 people died, ultimately.
Yeah.
It was a horrible, immense tragedy, and really just, like, kind of a black mark on Waco. And I can't think of anywhere more desolate and with a more, like, horrible connotation.
Yeah.
Like, and so, like, the fact that they're, like, making Waco sexy, it was just kind of like, what's happening?
I totally get it. But, you know, for Waco, for me, was So going back to football, but ask like moving it up to collegiate football.
Sure, Baylor.
So 100%. So Baylor University. Well, exactly. And so at the time, I don't know if you remember this. I'm about to get a little bit political, but Clayton Williams was running for office against Ann Williams. So Clayton Williams being a Republican, Ann Richards. Exactly. Thank you. And right before voters went in to cast their ballots, he really, you know,
put his foot in his mouth.
He did. Uh-huh. Thank you for like phrasing it like that. And so Ann Richards was the first, you know, Democratic governor
woman
and also a woman for so long. And so everybody was up in an uproar. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, you would have thought that we were
How does that come back to Waco?
Because she is the one that somehow got Baylor into the Big 12.
Oh, random.
Uh-huh. Huh. And so, for me, that's that whole Waco, Big 12.
You're thinking about
that's it. What I remember from it.
From it.
And I'm sure there's going to be listeners that will probably correct me. And
sure.
That's fine. But for some reason...
And I think that listeners that are our age, that are even non-Texans, they would remember...
Both
fresh, yeah.
Both
and Baylor, and also and also for our listeners that don't know, Waco is almost dead center of Texas.
So it is not scenic.
It's not scenic. It's kind of near the hill country, but it's not the prettiest place on earth. And so that was another thing that was like the Gaineses
turned that around,
taking this spot and being like, no, you know what?
Yeah.
We see this potential. We're going to make this something. And now it's become so huge. I feel like people, that's the only, they're like, oh, you know, if they're from Minnesota, they're like, Waco, Texas is so cute.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, but it's not. Though.
And talk about one of the most beautiful collegiate stadiums you've ever seen.
Sure.
I mean, the bridge, it's on the water.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. I mean, and I know that's not because of them, but like people get to experience that and they're drawing people into it.
And it is a historic town.
Very much so.
Rumors that it was supposed to originally be the capital of Texas. We'll have to fact check that.
I feel like Brady, Texas Dr. has
Pepper,
that.
We talked about that last episode from Waco. So Waco has some...
It does.
It's just like kind of this weird spot.
I want to say that the Texas Ranger Museum is also there.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, let's go into fact number three. Diverse business ventures. So this is where they become like Martha Stewart level for me.
That's right? A great comparison.
Their business adventures extend far beyond TV and retail, and they launch a magazine called the Magnolia Journal, which I'm sure most listeners have seen around. It's amazing. I have several at home. They've authored books, and they've also developed a real estate company, which is huge here in Texas. That Magnolia Real Estate and Brokerage is enormous. I mean, there's actually one in my hometown, or not hometown, but where I live now in Granbury.
Nice.
And it's busy. They also have a line of home products, furniture, and a collaboration with Target, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And they showcase their wide-ranging influence in design and lifestyle in all these different avenues. So now they're starting to really branch out, which what a smart move at the time they did, because like I said at the beginning, like who has cable anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Like even if like HGTV.
Well, they don't even have cable.
Right.
I mean, you know, word on the street is that they've got, you know, like, I think it's like four, maybe five children.
Right.
And they don't even have cable.
Kids, right.
And however, they're all over the place. I mean, you can really see them everywhere.
Right.
You know, yeah. Good Morning America, you know, all this other
stuff. Well, and I think that's a part of the genius of their brand, too, is they're so lovable as a couple. They really are.
They are.
Like, Chip is hysterical.
He's so funny.
Joanna is, like, effortlessly gorgeous.
Yeah.
And has umpteen kids. And none of us know. And it's like, come on. Like, why do you have to set the bar like that?
Okay.
Like, I don't.
Yeah.
But they're
adorable.
But they still manage to be relatable, I think, to a very wide audience, which I think makes them successful in all these ventures. Let's go on to number four, launch of the Magnolia Network. This was interesting. In 2021, the Gaineses launched the Magnolia Network. It replaced the DIY Network.
No way.
Replaced it, which is crazy. Like, it is the DIY Network now, right? So, and it features shows about home design, cooking, gardening, and other lifestyle topics. That's, again, like Martha Stewart level influence. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember, I mean, I guess to give it a comparison, I remember when the Longhorns launched the Longhorn Network, obviously football, totally different thing. But I mean, it was an uproar because everybody was like, now we got to watch games on the Longhorn Network. And what are these, you know, egotistical Texans coming out of nowhere with their own network, you know, like, and like everybody was mad. And I think still kind of mad about it. And now it's actually kind of like, I want to say it's dissolving.
I'm still pissy about it.
Yeah. They're like, okay, Longhorn Networks. A lot of, nobody questions the Magnolia Network.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it makes sense. Like, they aren't the lead of it. They are it.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's just, it's an interesting, you know, you look back at all their ventures and how they've grown over the years. And as a business owner myself, watching them and the genius of what they're selling and how, they, I mean, think about the profit margin on making a pitchfork the centerpiece.
I love that you keep going back to the pitchfork.
I don't know. I'm thinking like, a,
I'm
just saying, I mean, I don't know. Or like the hen house, right? Like, you know, and if you go to the silos today, you can walk into the silos and you can buy a regular hen house that you now want to make the like centerpiece holder for your little Christmas balls.
Mm.
And you can give $1.20 for it, or you can go to the feed store and
make
it for
$20. Okay, like, so I'm actually really glad that you said that.
But it succeeded.
I know, but I'm so glad that you said that because so I have gone, like, I think that they are a beautiful couple. I think they're a great example. I love the empire that they've built. Sure. I think that they're so positive in so many ways. It's just so funny to me because I have gone out of my way to avoid going to the silos.
Oh, yeah.
I and really all your girlfriends want to go. Oh, my gosh. Sure. You have no idea. Yeah. So one of my girlfriends a couple of years ago, like, sent out, you know, this survey. And she was like, hey, where do we want to do our girls trip this year? And one of the options was the silos. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no.
No, not doing it.
I don't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, just to your point here that, you know, sometimes it's overly priced, but people are there for the experience.
They are.
Like,
sure.
They absolutely love being close.
And it much like the Cafe du Monde in New Orleans, it's like I had her cookie at the bakery at the silos.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing. It's like
that's a great comparison. You know, like, it really is. And people that
I know
watch
she has
them,
a thing. I don't think it's a cookie. I don't remember what her thing is, but she has a thing at the bakery.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure she does.
Yeah.
She is talented across the board. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's wild.
Raise your glass and celebrate at the Granberry Wine Celebration. Sip award-winning Texas wines, savor delicious bites, and soak in the charm of historic Granberry. With live music, artisan vendors, and unforgettable flavors, this is the wine lovers event you don't want to miss. Sip, savor, celebrate in Granberry, Texas. Get your tickets now at granberrywine.com.
Yeah. All right, so our last and final fact, the cultural impact and the fan following. So the obsession with Chip and Joanna stems from their relatable personalities,
very
their family-centric
so.
Values, and their ability to transform the ordinary into beautiful, livable spaces. The approachable style and focus on the value of home and family resonate deeply with American audiences, earning them a dedicated fan base and a significant cultural influence. I think this is true, especially today, where we're in such a wild, wild world, right?
Yeah.
The world is changing so fast.
Yeah.
Everybody has access to everything. And I think that it, as a general audience, like a lot of us here in America, all over the world, but it's certainly in America, are trying to kind of find our footing and find our way, like ground ourselves and find our way back to simple. And I think Chip and Joanna do that.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And they do it well and they do it beautifully and they make a lot of money doing it. Cheers.
Cheers to that.
Yeah.
No, I do agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it goes, for me, it's, I look at their style and I have so much appreciation for it. Number one, I think it comes from, you know, the fact that I love buildings and houses with a story.
Sure.
You know, and I do, from what I know, love the fact that they go in and they hold that integrity.
Mm-hmm.
I also grew up, you know, as a child of the 80s where knickknacks were everywhere.
Sure.
Like, and so the simplicity of stuff. So, you know, I get it.
Bringing it back to basics.
Yeah. Like
basic.
Back
and loving.
And focusing on the family.
Simple.
You know?
And
so, yeah.
You know what the pitchfork is? It's that painting.
of the American Gothic.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's
so where why is that a centerpiece?
Yeah, I don't know, because I have a degree in art history, I guess, because I just like study that all
the time. So you're talking about the painting.
That pitchfork.
Because I'm imagining like a pitchfork in the center of a table. You're like the centerpiece.
I think it's like above the mantle. She would like make it cool. Or maybe like crisscross them like oars or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, San, why don't you kick us off for that fact and fiction part of the show, inspired by the game Never Have I Ever. This is Never Have Y'all Ever, and our producer, Hassan, reads us a piece of Texas fact or fiction. Lindsay or I have to decide whether it's true or not. The one that's wrong has to drink, and we invite listeners to partake.
Okay, and just a little fact check on that, on this episode today, before we get into fact or fiction. I, too, am a child of the 1990s with David Koresh and that whole Branch Davidian thing back in 1993.
83 or 93?
According to the internet, the standoff occurred in 1993, and the standoff ended on April 19th, 1993.
Wow.
And there was a fire. There's some back and forth as to who did what. David Koresh, however, was killed, as were 76 other Branch Davidians.
Holy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's just a fact check there on the Waco incident. Mm-hmm. By the way, kicked off a lot in the 1990s with conspiracy theories, which we'll cover on another podcast potentially. All right, so we're talking about the capital of Texas, right? And our fact or fiction today, the Battle of Texas, or the capital of Texas, was originally Houston. Fact or fiction?
I am going, that's hard. You know why? Because it comes down to your dock, your port.
Yeah, Galveston.
I know.
I'm going to say no. I feel like as a Houstonian, I would have known
that.
Yeah. And I don't. I'm going to say, damn, I'm going to really upset my Houstonians if I'm wrong. But I'm going to say,
it's okay.
No.
I'm going to say no, because I once heard that Brady, which to this day is still considered the heart of Texas, was supposed to be the capital.
Okay.
So I'm going to say that it's false.
Okay. And that is indeed fiction. You are both correct. The first capital of Texas was the Republic of Texas, was the Washington on the Brazos, followed by others, with finally settling in Austin.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
All right.
Dig it.
Cool. Way to go. Good to know. Well, cheers.
Cheers
to another great episode. Check us next time. Right?
Absolutely.
All right. We might dig into some new stuff like Landman.
Oh, absolutely. We've got to.
Maybe talk about some Come and Take It. Maybe talk about a little, I don't know, Houston rap. We're going to mix it up a little bit.
We are.
Yeah. I'm excited to get to keep going with this and see what our listeners think.
It's a multifaceted state and people don't realize that. You know,
we're more diverse than you think we are.
Absolutely.
Gather around, y'all. We're ready to share a Texas-sized story that's beyond compare.